Today's lesson, the Word made flesh, and the sons of God glorified thereby. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The Word of God made flesh, sons of God glorified thereby. We're going to start here and read a story that is familiar to all of us, or we're all familiar with, and this is going to be part of our Shadows of the End series. Shadows of the End series. So we're starting here, and I'm going to read to us, before we read that story, you know, let me just read one a verse here out of the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this account is the account of Christ coming into the world. He came unto his own, we're told in verse 11 of the same chapter, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. So right away, we see that his coming into the world was to bring forth the sons of God. As many as believed on his name, he gave them power to become sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. That's right. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, John was an eyewitness, you know, of the same. This is John, one of the apostles. He was an eyewitness of the Word that was made flesh. He was right there. And he said, the things which we have seen, have handled, and have tasted of the Word of life, these things declare we unto you. We have not followed any cunningly devised fables, but these are things which we experienced when we beheld, you know, his glory. Hallelujah. So they beheld his glory. There were many times that they were out there with the Christ, and he would speak unto them some secrets. And of course, the rest of the crowd may not understand it. And later on, when the disciples would come back, he would explain it to them. And there was a time that Jesus took three of them also, James, John, Peter. They went up to the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And John would write about this thing later on and say that, look, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We beheld that glory. We saw it. We were right there with him. It was not a fable. It was not a myth. You know, we beheld his glory. Praise God. So, but the process of beholding his glory is what we want to talk about today. Now, there are a couple of places where this glory about Christ being made flesh is actually explained in a way. You know, the word made flesh. What does it really mean? Well, let's look at the story. This is the story I said I was going to read, which of course, you know, is known by all of us, really. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't know this story. In Luke chapter 1, there was a story of Mary, who was to become the mother of Christ. She was visited by the angel, and there was an exchange between them. And here is part of that exchange that the angel and Mary had. You know, so when the angel visited her, he said, you know, when Elizabeth was visited and was pregnant, the angel of the Lord also visited Mary 6 months later. It was sent, Gabriel was sent to Mary and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, Luke chapter 1, verse 27, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. See, the Lord knew her name too. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Hallelujah. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And that's the announcement that was given to Mary of the angel. And Mary said, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You know, because nobody ever heard of any such thing. The angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now, I want you to notice this process, because this is what we're going to explain today. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. You know, so that two things that he's saying here. The Holy Ghost come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The result will be that there will be something born of you that will be called the Son of God. Now, so let's break this down and see what happened. The word was given to her, and it was said to her, The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that whole process will bring forth something called the Son of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are right now at the shadows of the end. And again, the word, just like in the case of Mary, the word must again come to another virgin woman, so to speak. You know, remember that Christ was a type and a blueprint. He would not be the only, but he would be a type. And it's a prophecy that says, For as a virgin woman brought forth Christ after the flesh, so shall a virgin church bring forth the firstborn after the Spirit, who shall be endowed with the seven spirits of God. We've been talking about, you know, the lively stones upon one eye shall be seven stones. upon one stone, shall be seven eyes. Talked about that in Zechariah 3 and 9. This church that will be so brought forth out of the word, becoming flesh in a virgin, you know, the Son of God was brought forth. At the end, something again like that happens. The word becomes flesh in a virgin church and brings forth something that will be called the sons of God. They will be sealed and they will have the mark of divine authority upon them. They will have no bonds or impositions or no limitations. But there will be an holy unction from the throne that will guide these newborn spirits. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's go back to our story. Mary received the word, and the word was made flesh in her. Now, for the word to be made flesh in us, number one, we must first of all hear the word. You have to hear the unadulterated word. Now, not this wishy-washy, itching air, you know, type of thing that people are delivering and hearing today. But the true word of God must return at the end. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So when you have two measures of the word of God and one measure of leaven mixed together, then at the end of it, it produces mixed and it's all leavened and God rejected it. But when you have the pure wheat with no leaven at all, when that's served to the church at the end, out of all of that, it's coming a process that looks like what happened to Mary. She received the word, so will the church also receive the word. When they receive the word will be made flesh inside, just like it was with Mary, and becomes something incredible, produces what's called the Son of God. Well, one virgin woman produced the first Son of God. Another virgin church purified by the word will produce the sons of God. The word of God is not abstract. It is real. It's as real as your flesh, and sometimes even more real. Now, when you hear this word, it must be mixed with faith and become an inseparable part of your life. That's what's called becoming flesh. The word which we hear becomes a part of us. It's a process that happens. Now, John chapter 1 that we read, he said this word came. Initially, they rejected him. But there were some that were earmarked to receive him. But those that did receive him, though, you know, he gave them power to become the sons of God. So there was a process of becoming that started with the word coming. The word coming led into a process of becoming for the sons of God. The original Son of God coming led to the process of becoming the sons of God out of the church, the ones that, you know, calling out at the end. Now, listen to this. They were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, just like Mary. Mary said, look, I've not been with a man. How can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, she was told. Holy Ghost. So you are not going to be, this thing will not be born of blood or the will of the flesh. A man and woman coming together, that's the will of the flesh. That's not how it was born. But the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Who are you going to call him when he is born of you? He's going to be a son. I mean, he's going to be a male child. A male child is a son of somebody. A female child is a daughter of somebody. You know, in Jewish custom, anytime you read the genealogies in Jewish custom, in some cases, very few cases, when a king, one of the kings of the Judah or Israel are introduced, in some cases, you are told who their mother is, just to identify them, because they may have similar names. You know, that may be, you know, people give themselves similar names and so forth, give their children similar names. So they may give you the name of the mother, name of the father, to identify them and so forth. But anytime they do the genealogies, they always usually count the genealogies from the man. It's kind of like, you know, he was the son of David. Well, you know, it wasn't, you know, I mean, technically, he was the son of the Holy Ghost. Technically. Because whoever makes the woman pregnant, the father of the child. You know, so the Holy Ghost was really the father of that pregnancy. Now, that makes the Holy Ghost his father. Now you begin to see the relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not some other third person in the Godhead, as some people think. The Holy Spirit is the very eternal God. Now, we call him Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost or this or that. You know, when he drops down into our realm and comes upon a person, but it's the same eternal God. You can't have two fathers. If God the Father were his father, and the Holy Spirit is his father, and the God the Father is different from the Holy Spirit, then he's got two fathers. So that doesn't make any sense. So the Holy Spirit is what made this woman pregnant. That makes the Holy Spirit the father of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's that same eternal spirit that was coming into that woman, and she received the word. See, the word was told to her. She had an opportunity to reject it or to receive it. Well, at the end, such as now, the word is coming again to us, and we have an opportunity to receive it or reject it. May we receive that word with an open heart. Just like Mary said, well, after the angel explained it to her, because, you know, and don't blame her. I mean, nobody ever heard of any such thing. You know, I mean, you never, you know, since the days of Adam and Eve, nobody ever heard of any such thing that a woman would just conceive, you know, like that without a man. Never heard of it. So you can't really blame her that she asked that question. But once, you know, once the Lord, through the angel, convinced her, and the angel even told her something else, said, look, don't count anything impossible with God. Your cousin, Elizabeth, see, so the angel knows everything. The Lord knows everything about you, knows your situation, knows your cousin, knows this, knows that, knows everything. And said, look, even your cousin Elizabeth, that had been counted out. Everybody making fun of her that she's, you know, barren, she can't have a child, and so on and so forth. You know, and they were even speaking it behind her back. You know, that she's barren. You know, I mean, there's no such thing in the house of David. You know, people must bring forth, you know, Zacharias needs to have a son. And so this woman, so angel is telling her, look, even your cousin that was called barren is now 6 months pregnant. How do I know it? Because I was the one that gave her the word also. Yeah. So, and then he told her, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, we don't know how long Elizabeth had been without child. You know, possibly many years. You know, to the point that she was called barren. I mean, if she was only a few months married, nobody would call her barren. She must have been many years married without child. You know, and so now she's called barren. But lo and behold, a day of visitation came. And of course, we know that's another story with Zechariah's to be, who was to be the father of John the Baptist, initially not believing the word. And the angel, you know, had to punish him for that because he was supposed to believe the word because now he's a priest, right? Not like this young woman who, you know, I mean, was told something almost impossible. You know, I mean, what was told to Zechariah was not that impossible. Your old wife will have a child. You know, that's not that impossible. That's more plausible than a woman, a virgin that has not been with a man to have and suddenly be pregnant. So you can compare the two. But when the angel convinced Mary, you know, she said, wow, be it unto me according to thy word. And you'll find that in Luke 1 and verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now she received that word and it was mixed with faith in her. Likewise, we must receive the word of God and let it be mixed with faith in us. Now, let me read to you some a few other scriptures before I bring in some part of this that I want to really zero in on today. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, see, that word came into Mary's heart and it was very rich. She pondered those things in her heart. She kept those things in her heart, you know, and by the time that she went to visit, you know, the word of God immediately began to take effect. Well, the moment she believed it, it began to take effect in her. By the time she left, the angel left, she also left to go and visit her cousin to check it out, what the angel said. Now, between that time and the time she got there, this word was already forming inside of her. To the point that as soon as she, Elizabeth, her cousin, saw her, the six-month-old baby that was inside Elizabeth womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth said, whoa, the power of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth herself. And she began to prophesy and said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? How did she know that? You know, it's amazing the things, this birth, the birthing of the Son of God. It's amazing the things that began to happen. The moment that Mary received the word, this thing began to be forming in her, even before it was anything, the power of that thing influencing people around. I mean, influencing even her cousin, she coming there, the baby leaping in the other woman's womb, Holy Ghost coming upon her. She's saying things that she should not have known. There's no way she would have known that. Who told her that? Prophesying by the Holy Ghost. Why? How could this happen? You know, not only am I pregnant after all my years of barrenness, now the mother of my child, I mean, my Lord is coming to me because the baby that is inside me is leaping even at the hearing of your voice. Wow. You know, the effect of the word becoming flesh. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 15, and verse 7, the power of the word, even in the things that we are desiring from God. The power of this word in us, so powerful. Jesus explained it here in John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, my word become flesh inside of you, then ye shall ask whatever you will, because the word is in you, and you are speaking that word, and it shall be done unto you. That's how the word of God works. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this word is inside of us. It's got to be inside of you. It's not just on the external. It's got to be inside. These scriptures, let the word of God dwell richly in your hearts. You know, let the word of God abide in you. And now, you know, let the word of God be inside of you. Inside your soul, your spirit, your bones, your marrows. These three scriptures are talking about the word of God inside of you, becoming a part of you. Can even go inside and split the soul and the spirit. I've taught that many times on this platform. The soul is where all the emotions are, in case you haven't heard it before. The spirit, that's really the place that connects with the word of God. So when the soul is doubting, when the soul is fearful, when the soul is unbelieving and emotional and all that anger, joy, everything else happens in there. The spirit is steady with the word of God. When the soul thinks that can't happen, the spirit says yes, because the word of God says so. You divide asunder. It's kind of like Peter when he said, look, I have toiled all night. We have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. See, he used that word to split between his soul that said, wow, we can't. That's not going to happen. We'll be here all night. But nevertheless, at the word of God. You know, so once you receive that word, it will bring in all kinds of nevertheless situations. My brother is now in the grave 4 days. And you should have come when we called you. But nevertheless, even now, we know that whatever you ask of God, he will give it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Once you receive that word and it becomes part of your flesh, it's a game changer. Hallelujah. Now, the word of God lives and abides forever. Let it live. Let it abide inside of you. That's what Jesus is saying, John 15 and 7. If my word abide in you, you know, let it live and abide like that in you. Let it become flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. And if that's the case, you also will live forever. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. I mean, let's read, you know, this marvelous revelation here. He says, look, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, I'm reading from verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit of God unto unfeigned love and so forth. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, because, you know, listen, he said, look, you're born again, not of corruptible seed. See, this new birth is not between a man and a woman. A man and a woman is how you came into the world initially. But to come into the kingdom is between you and the Spirit of God. You must be born of water and of the Spirit, the washing of water by the word. Being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And if the word of God is in you, here's what happens. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower that will fade away. Now, The grass will wither, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God inside your flesh will endure forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So if you receive this word as it is, the genuine word of God, and you let it be mixed with faith and let it become a part of your life every day, living, breathing, thinking, speaking the word of God, then you too will live forever. Because the word that dwelt endureth in you forever is now a part of you. Now, let's review the process again. This is what is happening now. The word of God is now coming. You know, coming. Now, unfortunately, the church for many, many centuries have not heard the pure word of God continuously. Sometimes they've heard it. Sometimes it's been diluted. Sometimes it's been mixed up. And now you were told that in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will have itching ears, piling to themselves, teachers and all of that. Whatever they want to hear is what they want to hear rather than the word of God. But to the elect lady, hallelujah. John wrote, he said, to the elect lady, who will receive the word of God like Mary, something starts to happen. Well, let's read another rendition of it in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, here is something that God said. And we know that all things work together for good. Verse 28, to them that love God, to them who are be called according to his purpose. You heard me explain this before. These are the people that love God. Not just the people that God loves, but these are the people that actually love God and responding to his word. Now, they are also called according to his eternal purpose, for whom he did foreknow. See, he foreknew them. Remember, you know, I've said multiple times in the last several weeks that God doesn't start anything until he first finishes the thing. So this thing was already finished before the world began. You know, the lamb was already slain before the world began. Your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began, etc. So, but he knew you, and those who he knew, he also predetermined their destination. That's what predestinate means. He predetermined their end state. Their end state will be like they will be exactly conformed to the image of his son, so that the son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not the only one, but the first. And then others looking like him. Those are called the sons of God. Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, listen, looks like the process. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The glorification of the sons of God coming, just like John said, we beheld his glory. First, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, again at the end, this is a simple message, but it's a parallel that we must understand. At the end, again, the word of God is coming back to the church. When they receive it, it purifies those that receive it. It gives them power for this process to begin to happen, so that will transform them into these sons of God that will be conformed to the image of the Christ. This is the process. And it's happening now. Now, the moment you receive that word and you take that word and let it live inside of you, you begin to live the word, breathe the word, think the word, speak the word, and go back to the word only. If you hear anything that's not according to this word, ladies and gentlemen, even if you hear it on this platform, and I pray that that's never the case, if you hear it and it's not according to the word, then reject it. You know, because according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8 and verse 20, we are told that the word of God is the foundation of light. If anyone speaks anything, say back to the law and to the testimony. You know, he said, look, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So don't mess with anything that has no light. If you do, you will both fall into their ditch. You'll be like the blind leaders leading the blind, and they both fall into your ditch. But it's going to take the two of them to be blind to fall into the ditch together. If your leaders are blind, you don't have to be blind. Have your eyes wide open, and you will not fall into the ditch. But if the leader is blind and the follower is also blind, then they will both fall into the ditch. Now, anything that is spoken to this group must be checked out. The litmus test, if you will, is the word of God. You got to put it to the word test, because these people will be called the word bride. They are becoming the word. The word is becoming flesh in them, and we are that people. Hallelujah. So when you hear it, put it to the word test. Is it according to the word? If it is so, receive it and cleave unto it. If it is not, reject it, because there is no light in that thing. You know, so, and once you receive that word, it becomes to be formed in you. The process begins. Hallelujah. The process was happening inside of Mary. And immediately, even after she went and saw her cousin, you know, something was already there. It's already happening. It's on, ladies and gentlemen. It's on. And Jesus said in John chapter 17, now this, John 17, is the real, the Lord's Prayer. Now, the one that Jesus taught them when they said, teach us to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And so on and so forth. Lead us not into temptation and all that. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. You know, that is not the Lord's Prayer. Because people call it the Lord's Prayer. I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. That is the disciples' prayer, or even the sinner's prayer, you know, because he said, forgive us our sins. The Lord doesn't have any sin, so you can't group him into that place. But it's the prayer that is disciples. It could be the disciples' prayer, you know, but it's not, definitely not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord just telling them, when you pray, pray like this. Now, this here in John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And if you break it down in John 17 and see the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that he said, and ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing that I will say unto us today also, which is the first thing that Jesus said in this prayer. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, and thy son also may glorify thee. Now, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the sons of God, that the sons of God may also glorify thee. Now that's a parallel. The things that happen in Christ are paralleled in the sons of God at the end. Didn't Jesus say in John 14 and 12, you know, because you believe in me, the works I do, the same you will do? Well, the story is of Christ will be paralleled in us at the end, except for the fact that we have to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. we will go to the cross and die to the flesh. It's a little bit of a parallel, but it's a small twist. We will not be dying for the sins of the world, but we'll be dying to the sins of the flesh. We will be dying to the flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, yet not I, but the Son of God that lives through me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now we are, there's a difference now. All the things that happened in Christ. And Jesus said, look, if they have done these things in a green tree, what do you think they would do in a dry? You can't be greater than your master, he told them. Disciple cannot be greater than your master. But when you are perfect, Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, you will be like your master when you are perfect. That's how you will be. But in the meantime, you know, if they persecuted me, they also will persecute you. You know, all these things that I've gone through, you will go through. You know, for me to get to my glory, he told them in Luke chapter 24, he saw those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the day of resurrection and so forth. And those people were sad because they didn't know that Christ had resurrected. They were talking about, oh, well, we don't know all these things that happened. And we thought the Christ, this and that. So he joined himself to them and he said, what things are you talking about? And they said, are you a Johnny just come? Are you a JJC? I mean, haven't you heard of all these things that happened, you know? And he said, what things? And then they began to tell him. And he just, you know, the Lord is, you know, funny like that sometimes. He just let them talk. And then they finished. He said, look, oh, fools. Call them fools too. You have been slow. Why are you so slow to understand the scriptures? And, you know, understand all that the scriptures are predicted by Christ. Did you not know that in order for Christ to enter into his glory, he must suffer these things? These are the things that were written of the scriptures of him. So why are you now saying all these things? Ladies and gentlemen, if Christ passed through that in order for him to enter into his glory, well, the sons of God must pass through something similar in order for them to enter into their glory. The road to glory for Christ was through his sufferings. The road to glory for the sons of God will also be through some sufferings. But here is the full road. First, the word is revealed. Then, those who are elected among the church believe it, they receive it, it forms in them. Now, you say, but they were already believers. Well, they were already believers in John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Every branch in me, now, they were already in him, you know, so don't think that, you know, you say, oh, branch, you know, they're already believers. You know, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, according to John 15 and verse 2, he taketh away. They were already in him. It was already the branch in him. This was not some random branch. These were the branches that were in him. You know, they did not bear the fruit of the word becoming flesh in them. You know, so takes them away. But every branch, so there are two kinds of branches. There is the branch that beareth the fruit of the word becoming flesh in them. And the character, the full fruit of the spirit is being blossoming in them. The word is becoming flesh. They are living, breathing the word just like him. You know, well, on one hand. On the other hand, the same, you know, the same vine, you know, they are connected to the same vine initially, but they did not bear the fruit of the word. Then those are rejected. But he said, look, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. That word is the purification process. The word of God is the purification fire, the washing of water by the word. It all goes back to the word. Abide in me. You cannot do anything in yourself except you abide in me. So you must abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he goes on to later say, you know, that's how, you know, you mature into the sons of God. But if you abide not in me, be cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Ladies and gentlemen, he started out by saying, every branch in me. So not just some random branches. Now, the church as a whole, they are like these branches that are in Christ. But out of this church as a whole, they will receive the true word. And some of those branches will begin to blossom into word branches. W-O-R-D, capital. They'll become a word bride. I mean, they'll be part, the bride will be the word bride at the end. They will look just like him. Each individual become the word made into flesh like a son of God. Because that's how the son of God came at the beginning. So, and those that are not blossoming through the real word of God, they will eventually be cast off. So there's a transformation, a transition, and a separation that is coming. And it's starting now by the word. My fan is in my hand, saith the Lord, and I will thoroughly purge my floor. And Jesus said, let them both grow together until harvest time. Well, it is harvest time now, ladies and gentlemen. The word is going forth. You know, Jesus said, look, the word that I speak will judge. That judge is a separator. That word is a separator. When you hear the word of God, it's like, who is on the Lord's side? Well, you can come over this side or go over to the other side. You can become a branch that will receive that word and blossom forth into the character of the Christ. Let them, you know, come in our image after our likeness. And then they will receive the dominion. Now, that's the way it was from the beginning. That's the way it will be at the end. The word is what is coming to do that. And it's happening now. We're being refined by the word of God. Being shaped, pressed into a more accurate shape. Each lively stone being chiseled. All the excesses being cut out. So that the, you know, the glister and all of that can actually come out. It's all happening by the word. The word also carries some persecutions, some other things like Jesus experienced to help refine that. You know, so that must also come. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You can't do it otherwise. If you don't want to suffer persecution, you're not ready. Praise the Lord. You know, but, you know, the persecutions that will come, those will only make these lively stones become sharper and brighter. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that glory is not coming except by the word. The process that I'm describing today is the only way by which that glory, that is the only way it happened in John chapter 1. First, the word was made flesh. Then we beheld his glory. Same thing. This word must be made flesh in us before we can see that glory. Now, the glorification of the sons of God is to be after this manner. And this is my summary for today. Remember, those whom he foreknew, he also called. How is he calling them? By the word. When the word is revealed, people talk about unity. We come in the unity. He didn't say we're coming to the unity. No. You know, read it again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 13. You know, when he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. And these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, were for the perfecting of the saints. You know, so that's number one. Get them ready. It's like they, you know, manufacturing plant. Get those sons of God rolled out of the plant. You know, that's right. It's like, you can call it the manufacturing of the sons of God. It's happening now. You know, the thing that will roll out of that plant, assembly line, is going to be the sons of God. That's it. It's not going to roll out any prophets. Not going to roll out apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those ones are behind the scenes, working to roll out the sons of God. Now, they themselves, you know, it could be partakers, you know, let the husbandman be partaker of the first fruits. They themselves could be partakers if they do it right. But they are wrong. Their job is to roll out, make the saints perfect. You know, come into, you know, the work of the ministry like that. Building the body of Christ, that's what edifying is. Edifying, a building. The Lord said to us the other day, come build with me. Till we all come in the unity of the, we're coming in the unity of the, not, we're not coming to the unity, but we are united and coming, you know, what we are coming into is a perfect man. We're coming onto a perfect man. We're united in the faith. We're united in the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, these are the things, you know, the word of God is the Son of God. When the word is revealed and we are understanding this knowledge, when we are united in it, then we will come unto a perfect man. Then we come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the word is revealed. You talk about unity. There's a lot of false and fake unity today. People just want to be united. United around what? The real unity that is here is the word is revealed, the true word. It's like a core and it's like a magnet and it's in the center and each person is magnetized to that word, become unionized with the word. When you become unionized with the word, infused with the word, and I become infused with the word, and everyone else in this room becomes infused with the word. That's it. That's it right there. It's not just some random unity. I need to be united with you. What does that mean? I don't need to be united with anybody. I need to be united with the word. You need to be united with the word. The other person needs to be united with the word. Now, that means we are now coming in the unity of the word, the unity of the faith. We begin to grow in him, a holy habitation. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit will now come. It comes with that word. And he said, the power of the highest will overshadow you. That power will now come upon these ones, these branches that have received the word, that have been pruned. There's a pruning too. Cut out all the excesses, cut out all the things that don't edify, the things that are, you know, sapping the real juice that's supposed to be, you know, supplying the life of those branch. Cut those things out and let the branch flourish. Now, when they are like that, then wonders will begin to flow. Hallelujah. The power of God will begin to be demonstrated. Then they come into the glory and the world will behold their glory. Just like John said, and we beheld his glory. Well, the world will also be called the glory of the sons of God. And the sons of God, the glory of the sons of God is to glorify the Father. Just like Jesus said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. You know, and then at the end also, the sons of God will say, Father, glorify thy sons, the sons of God, that the sons of God may glorify thee. And the voice that came to Jesus then said, I have glorified it. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will be the same voice that we must hear at the end. I have both glorified it, and I will glorify myself again in the sons of God. Hallelujah. And there is an emerging that happened. He emerged after he came from the water being baptized of John. Now he's a full son, and the heavens opened up, and God glorified him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, let us fulfill all righteousness. Well, after these true branches have received the word of God, they're being cleansed and purified by the washing of water with the word and the washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And they are coming into the image of the Christ. After they have fulfilled all righteousness, they themselves will emerge, and God will be glorified in them. And the Lord will now be able to say, these are my sons, the princes of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, a prince is the inheritor of the kingdom. He's the anointed one that is to step into place. That's why Jesus is called the prince of the kings of the earth. He is king of kings because his citizens are kings. But among all the kings, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the chosen one. Prince means the chosen one. And so he will be the chosen one. He will sit upon the throne of his father. He is doing that now. And he said, those that also go through this process and come out as overcomers, they also will sit with me in my throne, even as I went through the process and overcame, and I'm set with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I'm going to leave it there for discussion. There is a lot more to be said about that process, but the coming forth of the sons of God shall be on this wise. Number one, God will send messengers. It's like an angel, Gabriel, that came with the word, you know, to this Virgin Mary. God will send messengers, you know. Acts chapter 13 said there were prophets and teachers that were walking together. Well, they were walking together. The prophet will bring the word. You know, we've had some prophet in our generation that have brought the word. Now the teachers will break it down. Prophets and teachers working together. Now, this process will be on this wise. When the angel messenger announces the word, the virgin church, like Mary, will receive that word. When the word begins to be formed in her, you know, the power of the Holy Ghost will overshadow her as well. And the power that will overshadow this group at the end, of which you and I are part of that group. There's no other group to look for, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to be speaking of the future anymore. Elijah was a man in the now, not a future kind of guy. He would do the thing now, bring the power of God now. And so Elijah says at the end, we're in the now. When that begins to happen, the power of God begins to be revealed. The glory of God will be revealed to this generation. There will be unsurpassed miracles, signs, and wonders like Christ did. It's coming. But we are looking first for his image and his likeness in the sons of God. Once we get there through the word, the Holy Spirit will reveal incredible things, and it'll be like the glory of God being revealed. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. And the psalmist said, Lord, forsake me not till I have shown thy power to this generation and thy glory, everyone that is to come. And so we will be demonstrating the glory of God. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, the hour is come. Glorify the sons of God, that we also may glorify thee. We have indeed received thy word. Hallelujah. And thy word has flourished in us. Indeed, thy word, O Lord, is truth. Glory to God. Jesus said, I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, we are only now stepping into the work that God has given us to do. And as Eve was a helpmeet for Adam, so will these glorified sons of God call the body of Christ and also call the bride of Christ at the end be a helpmeet for the last Adam to help him finish what was left. Hallelujah. And I believe that Jesus had about 3.5 years to do something. Well, something like that may happen at the end as well. He finished his part, but we must do our part. Hallelujah. And now, oh Father, help us to step into the part that you have given us to play. Hallelujah. For we are bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all things whatsoever you have given me, Jesus said, I have given them the words that you gave me. And as you have prayed, Lord, for us, we receive those words. And the glory you said that I had with you in the beginning, I've given unto them, that they may be one in the faith, even as we are one. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.